Off the ball.
Rugby.
It's a more appealing game to watch, for example, New Zealand than Ireland, South Africa, because of the way South Africa, you know, brilliantly tactically set up to win games.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Balls Rugby Daily with Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Irish rugby. Never stop competing.
Welcome to Tuesday's Rugby Daily. My name is Richie McCormack. Coming up, Ireland's tight head situation improves, and we hear from scrum coach John Fogarty ahead of Saturday's test with Fiji. Andy Farrell's Lions look set to break new ground in Australia next year, and there's criticism of Antoine Dupont's nomination for World Rugby Sevens Player of the Year. Rugby Daily is brought to you with thanks to Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Irish rugby. Never stop competing. First up today, Ireland's front row looks set to be boosted by the returns of Tadhg Furlong and Tom O'Toole for Saturday's visit of Fiji to the Aviva. Furlong's been forced to watch from the stands for the tests with the All Blacks and Argentina due to a hamstring injury, while O'Toole sustained a head injury seconds after his introduction against the All Blacks, and he set out the Pumas game. However, Ryan Baird, having suffered a similar fate as O'Toole against Argentina, will be absent when Fiji come to Lansdowne Road this weekend. Scrum coach John Fogarty was asked today if Furlong could have indeed played against the Pumas.
I never heard any of he couldn't. Like, they won't mess about with with the players. He's back on time. I think, you know, I think he's ready to go. So no, I don't think if he was back last week and he was ready to go, he'd be up for selection and then coaches will decide. He's ready to go now. Or he's ready. He's back in training and he's gotten through training today.
But Fogarty was pleased with how Thomas Clarkson fared on debut.
Oh, I was delighted. Yeah, Tom. We went on an EI tour a couple of years ago and he's a great character. He does a few things really well at scrum time, and you know, he came in as a guy that we were looking for the future, and circumstances allowed him to go on the field last week. Amazing. Kean 1-3-3 and Tom getting one. It was an incredibly exciting week to be a scrum coach, to watch both those things happen. I thought Tom did a good job, and he certainly will take his learnings from it. And it's always exciting when you get an Irish tight head onto the field, and hopefully he'll take everything that he's learned and push on. That's what we need. I've said it before. We want every front rower in the country to step up. And Tom has stepped up in this camp, and I'm delighted he got capped.
Having conceded 13 penalties in each of their last two tests, Fogarty says Ireland need to be cuter in the remaining fixtures.
I think it's important that we're staying on top of things. Like I said, I think historically, or you know, the last 10 years, discipline is something that Ireland would be known to be good at. So I think it's important that we're aware. The ones that are in our control, and sometimes that's a half second too late to a ruck, and now you're in a crock roll. So it's just about understanding ourselves and making sure we're on top of it. Coaches have addressed during the week. The playing group themselves are hyper aware, and I think in general, like I spoke before, some sharpness around what we're doing puts us in a good position, and we're confident we can get ahead of that.
Following two less than vintage performances, is the best still to come this window from that Ireland team?
The players own their stuff. They don't hide away from any conversations or from the reality of things. So I guess the ownership that's happening off the field. That always happens. It always happens. I think that's what gives you confidence. I think we've played two good teams, you know, and they've played their part in putting us under pressure, and it's brilliant, you know. It's not a negative. We don't see it as a negative. We see it as a challenge to make sure that we're on top of what we need to do to put a performance that our supporters and everyone here can be proud of, and that's what we're trying to do. So. Yeah, there's a lot of work going on behind the scenes. It hasn't been too frustrating at camp. We've enjoyed ourselves. We always do enjoy ourselves in camp. I love it. Yeah, it's brilliant.
Fogarty says Fiji will pose a stern physical threat come Saturday.
Their ability one-on-one there's always this impression they're going to throw the ball around, and they'll use the whole width of the pitch, which they will. But they're physical, really, really physical. And I think that's something that can catch teams by surprise. And we need to, you know, defensively, we need to make sure we're not we're worried about the width, but we're also worried about the physicality front up. So we need to be able to cover both. So there's threats across the pitch, and but the physicality at which they play at is a huge threat, I would say.
If he plays, Keane Healy will become Ireland's record caps holder with 134, and Fogarty today spoke in glowing terms about the versatile prop, particularly as it relates to Healy's ability to plug various gaps in the front row.
His ability, so there's a few things. Flexibility and strength through movement is different again to other players. He's incredibly strong on different levels, different planes, and his ability at loose head to get his hip height to a really good height, so he can launch into loose heads or into tight heads, and then for his overall strength, upper body strength, and his hip strength as a tight head to stay in a good strong position so that he can put pressure down on top of a loose head. He's got a range of abilities, but what connects him is his mentality. He's not afraid to try things over the years. He's unique, and it's we're lucky. I feel incredibly lucky to have to be alongside him and watch some of it. You know, it's an incredible number, 133 for a loose head tight head hooker.
Munster lock Jean Clain will make his first appearance of the season for the Springboks in Saturday's test with Wales in Cardiff. He replaces former provincial teammate Orgie Snyman in the second row, with Snyman and Etzebeth both dropping to the bench. Razzie Rasmus has made 7 changes to the team that beat England at Twickenham last weekend. 2 of those changes are in the front row, with hooker Johan Grobbelaar and tighthead Thomas Dutoy in for Bongi Mbanambi and Wilco Love. Erlig Love will start at open side flanker for World Rugby Player of the Year nominee Peter Steph Dutoy. In the halfbacks, the brothers Hendrickse, Jaden and Jordan come in for Grant Williams and Manny Lubbock. Bulls back rower Cameron Hannicombe will make his debut off the bench, which is split 6-2. So that All Blacks team to face Wales will have Afilili Fassi at fullback, Cheslin Colby and Curtly Arenza providing the threat from the wings. It's an unchanged centre of Jesse Creel and Damian Dalende. Jordan Hendrickse starts it out half. Jaden Hendrickse is at scrum half. It's a front row of Oxen Shea, Johan Grobbelaar and Thomas Dutoy. Jean Clain and Franco Mostart make up the second row. Sia Khaleesi captains the team from blindside flanker, winning his 92nd cap. Erlig Love will start at open side and Jasper Visa continues at number 8. Tom Curry has recovered from concussion to make England's squad for Sunday's final Autumn International against Japan. But winger Emmanuel Feyi-Wabosa hasn't recovered in time, and Elliot Daly is also out injured. So uncapped Harlequins wing Caden Murley has been called up, with Charlie Yules dropping out. Since beating Ireland in the Six Nations in March, England have won just 1 of their subsequent 7 fixtures. And speaking on this morning's Off the Ball Breakfast, the BBC's Chris Jones says head coach Steve Borthwick hasn't been helped by the constant churn of his backroom staff.
And I think this is where Borthwick will be really annoyed personally about how it's panned out, because his manifesto is based on stability, consistency, and not the kind of turbulence we saw under Jones. It was, Borthwick's manifesto is every game counts, no planning for World Cups necessarily, get Twickenham on its feet, get Twickenham believing again, happy, inclusive environment, everyone really wanting to come to work, coaches in a sort of stable environment. And the way that's not panned out, he had Kevin Sinfield as his number 2, then Sinfield's changed roles, then in came Felix Jones, he's left, 3 defence coaches in 12 months, Tom Tombleson from the S&C department, he was moved on, Alad Waters leaves. So all of the things Borthwick would have been desperate to avoid have happened.
Okay.
And that's why the next few months, I think, are massive for him to kind of go, right, it's been a bit of a shocker of a few months. Let's look forward to the Six Nations to try and get that stability and consistency that he craves.
And you can hear much more from Chris Jones and James Tracy from this morning's Off the Ball Breakfast by becoming an Off the Ball member now. Offtheball.com/join is how you do just that. Andy Farrell's Lions have seen a change to their itinerary for next year's tour of Australia. They were supposed to play the Melbourne Rebels in a midweek outing between the first and second tests. However, the Rebels went under earlier this year with debts of around €15 million. So instead, the Lions will play a First Nations and Pacific Island Heritage Australia team. That match will take place also in Melbourne on July 22nd. We're focused on a First Nations Pacifica style of game, which will be Australia-based players that have First Nations backgrounds or Pacifica backgrounds, ideally Australian-eligible players, said Rugby Australia Chief Executive Phil Waugh. And with a barren schedule between their final autumn test against Ireland and that Lions tour, the Wallabies are finalising some preparation matches. Joe Smith's side will face one of Samoa, Tonga or Fiji on July the 5th, 2 weeks before the first Lions test in Brisbane. They're also planning to release their players to the provinces to play against the Lions. And Antoine Dupont's nomination finally for World Rugby Men's Sevens Player of the Year hasn't gone down well with everyone. The France scrum half was recognised for his part in helping his country win Olympic gold in July. Dupont faces competition from France teammate Aaron Grandidier in Canang and Ireland's Terry Kennedy. But the man who guided Argentina to a quarter-final defeat to France in Paris is not happy. Santiago Gomez Cora believes Dupont's nomination shows a lack of respect for the Sevens game. That's it for today's Rugby Daily. Don't forget to subscribe to the OTB Rugby feed to keep this podcast coming to you Monday to Friday, free of charge. My name is Richie McCormack. I'll be back with more Rugby Daily for you, with thanks to Bank of Ireland, tomorrow. Till then, thanks for listening.